Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, where we can't really count. This is episode 214, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, the current reigning champion of the Oscar Bowl.
I'm Daniel, the dethroned champion of the Oscar pool.
I'm tired.
And lost to my kids for a third straight year in the Oscar pool.
Oh, yeah.
My kids said to send you a message, Bob. Are you ready, interns?
Booyah.
Booyah! They await your arrival. They were upset you didn't come over.
Told you why.
I know. Well, you can talk to them. You know, they are little and expect people to show up.
It's sad. Like, I have a job now. Too bad.
That's very rude to them, but I'll tell them that.
That ringtone is piercing.
It is piercing. So what's been happening, Kev? Did you enjoy the Oscar show with no host?
I did, actually. I thought it worked with a host. I think that might be the plan going forward, you know, just having different people doing different segments.
Yeah, there's no cringy monologues.
And what? That's shush.
Wait, what?
What?
It's on PBR.
Oh, you haven't watched the Oscars yet?
You haven't watched the Oscars yet.
Do you know who won?
I don't care if you PBR'd it. You've had plenty of time to watch that.
But you know who won?
Go ahead. I don't care.
That's good, because I'm going to. Yeah. I thought the opening segment was okay. I still don't find Amy Poehler funny.
Wasn't the opening segment Queen and Adam?
Oh, you're right. The Queen thing was okay, but I meant the opening segment was Maya Rudolph, Amy Poehler, and Tina Fey.
I thought they could have hosted, but it worked without a host.
I thought it worked great. I want to see this every year. Just boom, 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 done 3.5 hours. Perfect.
Drama of picking. And, like, no random, like, ordering a pizza.
Yeah, like, who needs that crap? Like, oh, let's go put on a movie and have Gal Gadot give them M&Ms. Really?
I just want to see who won, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't find any of the speeches interesting other than leading actress.
Olivia Colman?
Speech was excellent.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was good. I like Julia Roberts. It seemed to work for me. I'm happy with it. Nice to see Black Panther win awards for best set design.
Production design, yeah. Costume design?
Costume, yeah.
Costume, and original score.
And the score surprised me.
Yeah, score did surprise me too.
Yeah, I was the only one. I was the only one who got that one right.
And I'm just happy at the love. I thought it was a really good Desorgs. I Spike Lee proved he's a whining baby again, which I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah, he walked out when Green Book was announced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he really expect to win?
No, I just think he expected, like, Roma to win. Or he just was, like, kind of tired of, like, Green Book. Because it's, like...
There's a lot of controversy over Green Book.
There is.
It's, like, 2018, and it's just, like... I haven't watched it, but, yeah, I don't know. And it's just, like, Driving Miss Daisy Part 2, like, 2.0, it seems like to me. What?
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe we
same
all
option.
Maybe we all need some... Oh, that's bad. Maybe just four eclipses
on the list of best movies for the year, Simon.
Pardon?
It was number two on your list of best movies for the year, and now you're complaining about it?
No, not complaining. I'm just Driving Miss Daisy Part 2.
Sorry, you said it was Driving Miss Daisy Part 2.
It is.
Agree.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said that, and I agreed with him, but it is. I like Driving Miss Daisy, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I do too.
It wasn't a shot at it, but it is. I get it. I mean, if you're breaking it down to the bare minimum, yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
It should not have been from your time.
I mean, like that, I haven't said it just... Okay.
Don't you, there's a general perception that
it's logical. Agree with me.
Whoa, okay.
Sorry, Kev.
Sorry about that.
No, I didn't mean to go over it. No, I was just saying it's louder.
I think there's a general perception that Green Book was a movie to make white people feel better.
Hmm.
About racism,
sure.
and not, you know, most African-Americans would say that this isn't their experience, isn't quite their experience. whatever. I mean, to them, Black Klansman was a bigger, and Black Klan, it was actually probably a better movie in the grand scheme of things. I don't think enough people really saw it or championed it.
I saw it. It was okay.
I watched it the day before. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I thought it was fine, like, but nothing really that's memorable.
But it wasn't
for, like,
better
bad.
Than Roma, and it wasn't better than Green Book.
I didn't think it was going to win at all, but yeah.
No, I mean, I knew that they were going to surrender the English Language Best Picture Award to an international release, which is why I picked Green Book anyway. And Green Book was a safe choice.
It was.
But is it because it's foreign language, or is it because it's Netflix?
No, because it's... Well, it could have been because it was Netflix, but
yeah.
I think it was, there's a general perception that they gave him director because he's so good. You can't argue with the direction in Roma. It's a beautiful film, and the cinematography as well.
Yeah.
But it also won the Best Foreign Picture Oscar. So to say that it's Best Foreign Picture and Best U.S. Language Picture is a big jump, in my opinion. So I think they would want to give it to an American film. In that case. And they did.
Yeah,
but I also learned a lot about the way they vote.
I do have one more question. Steven Spielberg has brought forth that films should stay in the theater for a month to be nominated for Oscars.
He feels that Netflix movies are TV movies. If movies are intended to go on a streaming service, then it's like a television movie and it should be nominated for Emmys.
I get that. But my argument to him is Netflix does put them in theaters.
For a very limited release. The rule is right now 7 days in a Los Angeles theater.
I thought it was Los Angeles and LA. Just Los Angeles?
Unless it's just in New York.
I hate to break it to you, but Los Angeles is LA.
Yeah.
LA and New York, sorry.
Yeah. No, New York for short films.
Oh, okay.
But just LA for major pictures.
So, I don't care. Like, if they follow the rules, I have no issues in being nominated for Oscars. Zero.
Mm-hmm. I ran something on my Facebook wall today, and it was quite heated overnight as people were feeling that this is the end for independent film if they go with the Spielberg rule. Because they feel that a lot of independent films they book themselves for a short run in an LA theater, and then they qualify for an Oscar, and then they go off to streaming services.
Yeah.
After that.
But I have no issues. Zero with that. Absolutely none.
So I would think that if Spielberg should go in and say, change the rules, anything that's going to a streaming service should not be nominated for Best Picture, or as the main awards of the show. Then I think there's going to be a lot of debate. Well, how do you recognize independent film? Because it's the only way that these small films who don't get distribution deals may make it onto an Oscar ballot and then get distribution. So that's something that they'll have to hammer out at the board of directors, really. But a lot of directors are saying, no, you can't shut off Netflix. They're giving us money.
They are a lot of money.
Right, and part of the problem, too, is Netflix had a lot of money to campaign. Well, they spent a lot more than any other studios did in campaigning for Oscar wins.
Of course they are. They got to make themselves relevant. Makes sense.
Sure, but it gets to the point where you say, well, maybe there should be caps on what you can spend on your Oscar campaigns.
Doesn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's good, it'll win. If you spend no money on it, it'll win. I think spending money is fine showing.
I run an awards program. And format is what defines your awards program. And so the Academy Awards are awards for movies that run in cinemas.
Yep.
And a Netflix award is, a Netflix film is a film that is intended to run on Netflix. A film that's purchased to run on Netflix is a film that's going to a streaming service. That is not the same thing as a theatrical release film. So using a loophole, in his mind, kind of undermines the process.
But if it follows the procedure, you can't argue that.
No, you can't. You can't argue that this year that was the procedure. But he's arguing that that procedure needs to be changed. And I can tell you why. because everybody under their sun is launching a streaming service. And they're all going to have original content, and they're all going to have original movies. So if they're going to put their movies in theaters for 7 days, that opens the field up to more content, which isn't a bad thing, unless you're Steven Spielberg and you think that cinema is being polluted by these television movies, essentially, that are coming in to widen the field.
Okay. I don't know. I disagree with Steven on this one, but each his own.
I mean, there's, like, a lot of bad Netflix movies, other decent ones, too. So.
Well, they're not going to release the bad ones in theaters for a week.
No, but I mean, like, there are some I'd like to see on the big screen, like Roma, probably.
You know, Annihilation ran in theaters for a little while, too, before.
Yeah, I think it was released, yeah, in Canada, I think it was released on Netflix first, and that was, like, the only one that was in theaters, and then the States, too, I think.
My thing is, why not, if Netflix has films that are that good, why not make a distribution deal and run the movies in theaters for a month?
I'm with you.
Or a couple of weeks. Give it a shot. See if the films sell. And then take it to Netflix the next month.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. I can wait a month. I'm okay.
But do you think the subscribers would be mad that they're messing up the business model like that, that they have to pay an out to go see it, like, on top of their subscription?
They don't have to. They
can
wait.
They don't have to. Wait like I would.
Right?
No, there's I know. But you just might be peeved that they have to wait a month for it.
Really? What would you have missed? Roma? You wouldn't have waited a month for Roma? Wait, you waited 6 months for Roma. You don't care. Poland.
I'm just saying, like, from their perspective, they might be mad.
I'm just saying it doesn't matter.
But I'm just saying, like, different perspectives.
Bob, do you have anything to weigh in on this?
Nope.
Okay, that's good. Let's get to some movies.
All right, what's first on our list, fellas?
Whatever you guys want. I don't care. Polar, let's go.
Let's do Polar, starring Mads Mikkelsen, Vanessa Hudgens, Catherine Winnick, Faye Wren, Matt Lucas, and Richard Dreyfuss for a hot minute.
I like how you picked the Netflix movie.
Well, that's why I picked
that's
it.
The first one. But sure, okay. Polar, based on a comic book.
Really?
Yes, it's based on a comic book.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Graphic novel. A graphic novel, yes.
Have you read it?
No, I've looked at it. It's very similar stylistically to the work of Frank Miller.
Okay.
The artist, writer-artist, his name's Victor Santos. So it's all black, white, and red. So it's very stylistic.
I feel that it was sort of drawn in the way of Frank Miller, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like Sin City.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so a lot of use of whites and blacks to define space.
Yeah.
I thought this was all right. I like Mads Mikkelsen in it. He's a hitman who's... So it's an interesting premise. Essentially, all of these hitmen that work for this company, this hit, that does the hits, forced to retire at the age of 50. I believe, right?
Yeah.
And so they pay into a life insurance policy while they're working for the company. And if they live to 50, they get paid out when they retire. So the only problem is the company doesn't ever want to pay out. So they have a tendency to kill their hitmen just before they hit 50 so they don't have to collect.
Oh.
Because their payout... If they don't have any surviving family or heirs, then Damocles inherits the money. So essentially they're looking at a down year where three or four people are being retired, and if they have to pay them out, then they're looking at they're basically losing like $16 million or something like that.
Yeah, 29.
And then if they kill them and take the money inherited, then they're actually in the profit for the year. You all right, Simon? Fall asleep?
I'm good. Keep going.
Anyway, it's a good action film. There's a little couple of twists. He has there's a weird thing with Vanessa Hudgens as his neighbor in this cabin in the north. The other hitmen were very comic booky.
Yes.
I thought with little like twitches and little perky things to their personality. Anyway, it was. I thought it was a good action movie. Some great sequences. Mads is a solid actor, and he certainly brings it to this one. So I have no complaints. I would recommend it.
I thought this film was wild. Absolutely loved this film. Stylistically, I liked it. I liked the villains. I liked the premise. I liked the setup. I love the other Hitman team. I thought it took a weird left turn at the end.
Yeah.
And which is what I really want to discuss, because I was fine with everything. It worked for me. The action worked. I mean, obviously, it was a little cartoonish at times, but I was okay with that. I'm going to spoil this film for anybody listening, so I'm going to be nice tonight, but I'm going to talk. So, does she or doesn't she, Kevin?
Kill him?
Yeah.
I think no, because there's Polar 2.
There is a Polar 2?
Oh. I don't know if there's going to be a Polar 2 movie, but there is a Polar 2 graphic novel.
Because that was my argument. The way they cut that scene, I'm like, he had to live. She doesn't shoot him.
But they saw that she doesn't shoot him. She's like, hey, do you want to find out who ordered you to kill my dad now?
Yeah, the gunshots. I was like, what's going on here?
Didn't you see the rest of it?
What, there's more after the credits?
No, there's more after the gunshot. Because they sit on the porch and he smokes a cigarette. Yeah.
Did I miss that? Because I watched it and mine went right to credits.
No, yeah, I mean, after the gunshot, she's like, hey, buddy, I'm not going to kill you. Do you want to find out who ordered you to kill my dad?
Seriously? Like, my Netflix screwed up because mine went right from there to credits.
Oh. That's so sad.
They might have popped up again after credits.
You know when you can fast forward it? But I didn't fast forward it. I scrolled the thing down, and it shows them on the porch. So I, okay, so now I have something to look forward to.
I must have missed it. I'm pissed, because I would have watched that for sure.
It's basically Vanessa Hudgens is like, hey, buddy, do you want to find out where did you kill my dad? And they just sit on the porch, and he smokes a cigarette, and then that's it.
Oh, crap. Well, see, mine just went right to the credits. So I was like, that's a weird ending, but okay, I'll accept it.
I enjoyed the action. I liked the first half, but after like the assassins all got killed and he got kidnapped and she got kidnapped, I hated it.
I have a little bit of problems there.
Matt Lucas is like really, really campy, and I was like, okay, we'll go again tomorrow, Mr. Vizsla. and then it's a funny little thing, like him with the pistol and the sword, and then his head just gets thrown out the window. I was kind of mad at that. And, even in the beginning, what's the point of him getting a dog if he's literally just going to shoot it in the face in the next scene because he wakes up from a nightmare?
It's true.
That's kind of twisted.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a strange development, for sure.
And the only scene I liked in the last 40 minutes was, him doing the rigged-up gun in the hand thing. That was cool.
That was pretty awesome, I thought. Yeah, I'd never seen that.
That was the only scene I liked in the last 40 minutes. But then Vanessa Hudgens, she worked on these pros for, oh, my son, my little brother's head smelled of little boy. What? And then you're just going to make me listen to that really, really bad dialogue, and then she's just going to be like, you know what? I'm actually not going to kill you. Do you want to find out who killed my dad? Let's be friends now. I just got that. How'd you get all that off my chest? I don't buy it.
I do.
I didn't like the last 40 minutes. I mean, I guess it makes sense for a character that she's there, because before that it was just kind of awkward, why are you here kind of thing. So that makes sense, but I don't know. Just the last 40 minutes didn't. I really hated it, but I liked the first hour.
Mm.
So that's where I am at it.
Dude, I say watch this. That's all I'm going to say. I think it's insanely fun.
Yeah, and then the fat guy coming back to life, and then they just pump him for 50 points.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what it was supposed to be. I think it's just supposed to be a fun film. You can't really take it seriously. You just sort of watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, and the doctor Joker at the beginning saying he leaves the prostate exam for last because he likes to give patients something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's what I like for.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, but I didn't really, like, Mads was good, but his character wasn't.
Correct. It's Mads, so I have to like it.
Yes.
Bob, what did you think of it?
Well, I have to agree with both of you, or all three. Did Kevin say it yet?
Yeah, I let it off, Bob.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too. I have to agree with all three of you. I like the movie. The only quirk I had with it was Mads is perfect for the role. But if you replace him with, say, Liam Neeson, or what's the other guy? The guy that never dies?
Keanu Reeves?
He's an older actor.
Harris? Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Sam Shepard?
Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Give it up.
Josh Brolin.
All right. He can be replaced, but he's perfect for the role. I'm just saying that because it's Liam Neeson's genre, like he's done that too. So that's the only thing I have with it. But he's perfect for the role.
But this is more assassin movie than a revenge one, though.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So. Okay.
No, I see what you mean, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that they're
both perfect in the roles because they both like it's action. And they're both perfect in the role. Like, I didn't think I was going to like it at first, because I started watching them going, I'm not going to like this. Then I just sat down, watched them going, I'm starting to like this. And in fact, I was looking for Toronto locations, because it was filmed out of Toronto. I saw Royal York, I saw the Gardner.
Well, Casa Loma was the villain's headquarters.
Correct.
Well, I didn't notice that, okay.
Well, then you look hard enough. Yes. Sorry? Well, you said you were looking for Toronto landmarks. Well, that's a pretty major landmark.
I've been in Toronto for years, so.
It's the X Mansion.
It is.
I thought that was in BC.
No, the X Mansion. Oh, in Oshawa.
Oh. Now, the first X Mansion from the original X Men movie was Casa Loma, but it was. For exterior shots of certain parts of the building.
Oh, I thought it was a BC.
Not for the master aerial.
Alright.
Okay.
Alright, anyway. Fun. Yeah, my only complaint would be the villain. I don't like that actor.
Matt Lucas.
Yeah, it's a weird casting. I mean, I like him. I liked him in Bridesmaid, but it's like, him, really? I don't know.
Yeah.
He always plays that kind of character. He's also in that movie we watched. Oh, see, I can't remember. He plays a weird character in it. He's always playing that role. Like, he's typecast 100%. He's typecast himself.
That's the first time I saw him in that role.
Plays in another one. He'll come back to me.
I don't know.
Good. Next?
Lego Movie 2?
Sure.
Second part?
Yeah.
Starring Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett, Tiffany Haddish, Stephanie Beatriz, Alison Brie, Nick Offerman, Charlie Day, a bunch of others. I'll stop there. And Fourth and Prince, or Pierce from Florida Project.
Let's start this off. Everything is not awesome anymore in this film.
No.
I had so many problems structurally with this film. And yes, it does pick off where the other one left off, but it is just boring.
Now, is this the same producers?
Yes, they wrote it. Really? Same writers. I tried hard to like this. I just found it uninteresting at any time. Batman was boring. Our main guy, Chris, is boring.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks is boring. I mean, Batman's about to get married. Everybody's so happy on this new planet. I'm just like...
I thought it was class.
Sounds like a Predator.
And that's all I felt the whole movie. I could barely stay awake watching this. There's nothing for me to even tell you was decent. Other than I did like the scene when Maya Rudolph shows up and goes, if I step on one more piece of Lego...
Yeah, it's worse than childbirth. Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was funny. I like how they got Will Ferrell back for 30 seconds. I thought that was good. I thought the villain in this film, you could see it a mile a minute coming away.
Whatever I want to be? Oh, no, I see. Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm like, he's the villain. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, yep, something's wrong with him. I know that's him. And I also watched this with my kids, and they both thought it was a piece of crap. So I feel comfortable in saying that. The Lego Movie 2 is, I'm interesting.
I liked it.
I thought the songs were dumb.
I like the songs.
I didn't like the reworking of everything is awesome. I thought the song that the weird, I can't remember what she is, lady sings, Tiffany Haddish's song was terrible.
Yeah. Like the one that she says she's not evil?
Yes.
I thought that was the music.
I couldn't even slightly recommend the Lego 2 movie. I just think stick with the first one. I'm done with this franchise. I'm actually done with all the Lego movies. I don't need to see anything else. I'm done with them.
I think they waited too long and focused too much on the spinoffs before going back to the main story. I think that's part of the problem. Oh my god, I can't talk. But, like, I thought it was kind of clever, like, the foreshadowing and stuff, and I thought it was funny that, like, Chris Pratt, like, the Rex guy, he was, like, just, like, basically an amalgamation of all of his, Chris Pratt's characters from, like, Jurassic World, Guardians, and Magnificent Seven. And so that was kind of funny, but, like, see, I'm not really passionate about it. I enjoyed it. But I love the I love the first one, and I really like the Lego Batman. So yeah, this was a bit disappointing. But I mean, it's entertaining enough. And what else is gonna say? Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it to some extent.
Yeah, I
like the songs, and the story was decent, and the whole thing with like the brother and sister. And, like, the brother just being all edgy, kind of like a Mad Max world at the beginning was kind of cool. But, though, I do think Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, like, used all of their creativity for Spider-Man and kind of left it. This is still creative, but they just used all of it for that movie and forgot to put everything into this one. Yeah.
Bob?
I'm having to agree with Simon on being disappointed. I wanted to like it. I really did, but there was parts of it I thought maybe this is the turnaround, and it didn't. I just didn't want to watch it anymore. Like I started to report. I turned it off and. I turned it on again, and I thought maybe it'll be better this time. No, I just couldn't. I couldn't take it.
Okay.
Couldn't take it. Well, I haven't seen it. I was looking forward to seeing it until now. Okay. I think it is better than Ralph Breaks the Internet, though.
I would argue it's worse.
Oh, okay. About the same for me. I guess
I found Ralph disappointing, so...
This will probably be on my top 10 worst list this year.
Oh, God, no. It's for me, nowhere near that.
Oh, yeah, it'll make it. It'll probably be at number 10 or something.
It's so early to predict this. I'm sure there'll be worse.
February. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to touch my top 10 or our bottom 10.
All right, well, it's just on... Yeah. Moving along.
Okay. Class. And that's starring Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, Samuel L. Jackson, Sarah Paulson, Anya Taylor-Joy, Spencer Treat Clark, and Charlaine Woodard. Simon, where'd you go?
I'll be right back. Let's go.
Okay.
He left. Willis.
Kevin Adair.
I did see this one. I was curious to see it after seeing Split.
Yeah.
As I'm a fan of Unbreakable.
Yeah.
But overall, I was kind of meh about this film. I thought, interesting setup. This was the big confrontation we were all heading towards between the three comic book powered villain or characters, two villains and a hero, and they're all locked up for some reason in an insane asylum to be tested by this one person, this doctor. And I mean, I thought McAvoy's character is fascinating.
Yes.
And I thought the way that they held him at bay with the lights was a great idea. I thought it was interesting. I liked the fact that Jackson was playing an invalid, but he was secretly plotting to do a number of different things, which I'm not necessarily going to give away, but he has a master plan, which comes into effect. Bruce Willis, I found, was the most disappointing.
Oh.
In that I thought I expected more out of him. He's been obviously acting as a hero, but he hasn't grown or changed or become more confident in his role as a hero in the 20-some-odd years since, or 10 years or more or whatever, since we last saw him in Unbreakable. And his son is helping him out. I mean, everything should be a little bit more straightforward, and I found he was very hesitant to do anything throughout the whole movie.
So they were reluctant to figure
out? Yeah, very reluctant.
Yeah.
And I mean, they didn't explain that the wife had died in the years in between, and that it affected him and so forth. But, I don't know.
I thought it was cool how the son was helping him out, though, like the guy behind the computer.
Yeah.
And, like, James McAvoy was great. But I usually like Sarah Paulson, but characters kind of lifeless here. Just, like, trying to convince them that they're not superheroes when, like, you should be convincing Glass that he's not a supervillain because, like, all they can do is be smart and break like Glass. Like, yeah. But, all right, you're going to give me Samuel Jackson and you're going to make him an invalid? That is super boring. But, like, I've been looking forward to this ever since the end scene in Split, that is in the same universe. And for this, I just feel like this is how people felt about The Village when it came out. Like, oh, okay, Shyamalan is great. I was so excited for his new movie. And then he's like, nope, this is shit. And then that's what happened with The Visit and Split and then this. I really liked some of it, but it fell apart in the third act. And, yeah, I mean, are we going to start spoilers or no?
Go ahead.
A fucking puddle. You're going to drown David Dunn in a fucking puddle? Sorry.
Oh, I 100% agree with you.
I'm
100% on board.
So mad about puddles. That whole scene is just like, okay, let's everyone have them nicely die. And the tone of, like, James McAvoy cycling through all his personalities was, and, like, then monologuing Shakespeare. I just whispered to myself in the theater, like, I'm mad.
I was angry too.
I'm still pretty mad about it.
So am I. I think my issue is
if it ends here, I'm really mad. But if we explore the universe more, I might be okay with it. But
no,
right
I
now,
think it's over. I don't think it's over.
Well, to me, their stories have ended.
But
so.
they it's like it's meta because it's like they're introducing this new Unbreakable universe to the world. So like other superheroes, if that explores like that. If not,
he has no intention of doing anything more.
Okay, then
this is it.
I got a lot. I like parts of this story a lot. I like the setup. I thought the Beast battle, they sort of like, he meets the Beast, they have a fight, and then immediately they're in the hospital. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of strange. And then my other thing I had is she's trying to convince them they're not heroes, but she has water in David Dunn's room, she has lights for the Beast, so obviously they are heroes then. And villains.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird. I just wish they would gone out of the hospital quicker.
Hold on. What's his name? McAvoy's character had multiple personality disorder, and the way to control that was lights. So it wasn't necessarily that he was super heroic, superpowered. It was just that the only way to control him was to use the light.
Yeah, and I knew.
Okay, but David Dunn has a fountain in his room to stop the water.
Right.
kind of strange. You know, he has a
they should just put a puddle in his room.
Now, I have a question. Why don't we just go out for coffee and pretend that maybe we're there for our secret meeting?
Yeah, that was the Illuminati thing is kind of weird. Like, oh, superheroes allowed.
Right. So, well, since we're spoiling it, the big twist was that there's a secret organization that has been acting through the centuries to put down superpowered characters, essentially, so that the world is mundane and normal.
Yeah, so that's what I like to do, guys. From now on, we're all going to go drink coffee and pretend we don't know each other.
Uh-huh.
And have a meeting.
But the second twist kind of brought me back a little bit of, like,
revealing to the world.
Yeah, Elijah, like, putting it in front of that so there's all security cameras and everyone sees their abilities. But they kept talking about having that big fight on top of the building, and, like, I kind of wanted that.
I did, too.
Like, but the structure here, like, with that, like, you can't really tell when it's ending because it's like, okay, you really hyped me up for this building battle. But then, I still feel like one of the best parts about this like, franchise is that it's so grounded in realism, and that's like, okay, everyone wants a comic book ending, but we'll end it in a parking lot?
With a puddle.
With the puddle. I hate rainy days now.
But it kind of like, even Paulson commits, I know where they're going, and she picks up the magazine and shows us the tower. I'm like, oh, there's our inbound. Great, I'm in for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I thought Willis, they took him down too easily. You know, I mean, I don't care if he dies at the end, that's not my issue. My issue is he was taken out too easily.
My issue was a bit dying at the end, because I like him, but a puddle? Yeah.
Do you know what my issue was?
What?
My issue was the language that Elijah and his mother used was awkward and wrong. For someone who knew stuff about comic books.
Oh, really?
I found it completely awkward. Oh, Elijah, this is almost like it was in the secret origin, or the, whatever it is, or in the origin of the heroic story. No, that's not how you would talk if you knew anything about comics. You know, it just came across as awkward and
okay.
And stilted language that I didn't think that took me right out. A lot of things took me right out. The fact that we had to have all of the support characters from the different stories come into the frame at different angles so we can have an arty shot of the front of the building. Oh, look, here comes the girl. Oh, here comes the son. Oh, here comes the doctor. Here comes the mother. You know, like, come on. And then having him, as usual, again, takes you right out of the film, and he's in the supply store. Hey, don't I know you? Oh, yeah. I used to go to stadiums and do really bad things, but now I'm an upstanding citizen, and I just happen to be in your...
I'm Night Shyamalan. Do you remember me from Unbreakable? Hey. I was actually out of the stadium on Unbreakable. Hey.
Yeah. Fuck. Again, like, all stuff that just took me right out of the film. It is interesting that Blumhouse brought him back to do this. This is a Blumhouse co-production.
Yeah.
The Truth or Dare and Dare and all those movies.
It's like the first collaboration between like the companies, right? Like Universal and this other one, whichever one did Disney,
yeah.
I guess. And like it's
so it was it Hollywood Pictures, Disney's division that did Unbreakable?
Yeah, I can't remember. Walden Media, I think.
I thought it was Touchstone or Hollywood or one of those.
Either way,
they did the original Unbreakable.
Let me pick it up.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, so I had to have their approval in order to let them use the characters.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Simon, you look bored.
I'm good. No, I'm totally good. I'm just had two late nights, so I'm fine.
So would you recommend this movie?
No.
If you want a really bad end to the trilogy, watch it.
I know people have loved it, but... Sir Bob, go ahead.
I would recommend it, however, because I know it's a weak explanation for it, but I never saw the first two. But on its own, this movie was good for me because I didn't think I'd enjoy it, but again, I enjoyed like his different swings in his different characters. Like you could tell, he was for each one he had like a different way of acting, and that's the McAvoy one, of course.
Which
I don't know. I did have a problem with a puddle of water that they're running. I mean, yeah, really? Come on. But as a whole, for me, I enjoyed it. So I would recommend it.
Bob, what's with you jumping in franchises halfway through? Like Fantastic Beasts and now this one?
Bob is a rebel. He doesn't care. He's just going to watch it.
I'm just going to watch the 8th Harry Potter.
Another few movies. I went from the second one to the first one. I forget which movie that was, but I went from number two to number one.
Okay. That made me twitch not seeing the first, like I was like watching this one movie that I didn't realize was a sequel, and I was like, oh no, I have to watch the first one first. Like, oh, yeah.
I watched Sopranos season two before I watched Sopranos season one.
See, I can't do that.
I gotta watch things. I guess we're moving along to Bob's favorite movies of last year.
Ooh, and on the Apocalypse. Starring Ella Hunt, Malcolm Cumming, Sarah Squire, Christopher LeBeau, and Marley Sue, Paul Kay, and Ben Wiggins.
Totally a Bob movie.
Very.
And I think a Kevin movie, it. Too. I think Kevin has this. He's got Kevin
written awesome for me. And everything.
You think I have
everything about this movie was, let's just say, awesome.
Sorry, what was that about me, Simon?
Well, I think you would love this movie if you didn't see it.
I saw it.
And? You didn't love it?
No, I didn't love it.
Wow. We're falling to my head.
I thought it was like a movie designed for people that like the same episode of Buffy and
yes,
and to combine it with Shaun of the Dead.
Correct.
I've never seen Shaun of the Dead.
What? Oh my God!
Sorry,
what?
Are you from the planet Earth?
Yeah.
Yep. Have you
seen Hot Fuzz?
No.
What? No.
Ooh. Wait, Simon, you haven't seen Hot Fuzz?
Of course I've seen Hot Fuzz.
Okay, my bad.
Of course he has. We were talking about if I've seen
it. No, you just said no, so I was like, wait, what?
So, I guess I'm going to start a bit on this and I'll let you guys take over. I had no idea this was a musical when I put it on. Had no idea.
Okay.
And I started watching and like, oh, they're singing. They're singing some more. Okay, it's a musical. I'll let it go with high school students. I thought Anna was okay, so that's fine. I accepted that. I thought one song was excellent. I thought it, what do you expect? Not everybody gets a Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
Was a great song.
Yeah.
Everything else really didn't do much for me, but that one really I found catching. I thought the casting worked a lot in this film. I really enjoyed the casting of each and every character. I had no issues with that.
Right.
My issue is the storyline doesn't hold up. I just find it very hokey, predictable, and lacking depth.
It wasn't taking itself seriously.
I wasn't taking it seriously. I know they weren't. I love the park song. I did like the scene throughout the park when they're walking through the park.
Yeah, and then all the carnage in the background, and then she gets to the park.
Yes, I thought that was great. But other than that, I thought everything was just okay. Like, I didn't really love it as much as I thought it would. I was hoping for more. Well, what do you guys think?
Wasn't it on your top 10?
No?
No, it was on mine.
Yours? Okay.
I
don't know, it was number 8 or 9 on mine.
Yeah, it was number 10 on mine. Or 9, I don't know.
No, it was below Paddington.
Yeah, it's probably 8 then. No, Paddington 2 was 8, and then Anna was 9.
There you go.
I loved
it. You just had to get that in there, didn't you, Simon?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
No, I mean, accuracy, right? No, I loved it. The music was great. I thought, because it's all, satire, of just, what if Shaun of the Dead met La La Land, and just...
Satire. That's it.
It's the horror of zombies and musical, and it's, all right, they're killing zombies and singing at the same time, and that sounds stupid, but for me, it really, really works. And
it's actually an open night film at the Toronto After Dark Film Festival.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, the structure worked for me. The zombie horror was a bit standard, so that's probably my main complaint about it. But like, I don't think it had, but it had singing, so I guess it's still like unique enough, and I think all of it worked. Spoiler, I guess the Paul K character at the end was a bit confusing. Like the principal, I was like, oh, I want a genocide, and let's just let the world go around, like start over, because I've been fucked so many times. That was kind of weird. Yeah,
I thought he was a pointless character. He just never evolved anywhere.
Yeah, like the villain song was pretty good, and like them singing together at the end was good. Yeah, he was an awkward character though. So like standard horror at times, and him were my main complaints. But I like that actor. And yeah, like I think maybe me putting it on my top 10 was a bit like, okay, like I could listen to the soundtrack all day, and like that scene, because I watched that one scene like with all the carnage behind them about 5 times.
I like, missed that. Days.
And so maybe that was a bit like, okay, like I love this, like recency bias. But now, like, it would still be in my top 15. Or sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I mean, I agree. The opening, the song when they're singing and they're oblivious to the fact that the zombie apocalypse is going on behind them.
Yeah.
Was great. Although it reminded me of Shaun of the Dead when he goes to the store and he buys his drink or whatever and he doesn't notice anything's happened. And then he walks back to the house and then their roommate is dead. But it was like sort of like too many callbacks to Shaun of the Dead. But that doesn't bother me as much because the whole thing, the zombie trope is overused. There's nothing original about zombies. Even in this case, like killing them with candy canes and things like that, okay, whatever. That's like Zombieland did stuff like that too. To me, none of that really was very interesting. I thought the school principal was aggravating. I do like that actor, but I thought he was a lame villain. Like, why would anybody want to kill other human beings in this situation? You know, he's running a school to save lives, and he's killing the students and wrapping up the custodian, and, you know, that I thought was very strange.
That's a weird thing.
And then the love interest gets bitten, and you know, then you're left with what, 3 people surviving the whole apocalypse?
Yes.
I mean, it just really. I had high hopes for this. I thought it was gonna be better than it was. The songs were okay, I guess. Is the basically. But to me it was sort of like, oh, let's kill zombies in interesting ways. Let's kill zombies at a bowling alley. Let's kill zombies at a Christmas pageant. You know, like, to me it just was kind of like, eh, okay.
But Kevin, they're singing as they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't start the Hollywood
okay. Ending. Like, if this wasn't a musical, I wouldn't think much of it, I don't think.
I agree.
But fact that like the Anna was really charming and like just a lot of unknown British actors. Like the only actor I knew was Paul K. It just worked. But I see where you're coming from, Kevin. Like I thought it worked as a love letter to zombies. It's not as good as Zombieland at all. But
it's probably a great sing along movie for getting your friends go down to the on Halloween and sing along to Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yeah,
that's type of it.
Yeah, I really
think you're right. I think you're right. If it didn't have music to it, I wouldn't have put it as high as it wouldn't even be in my top 10.
Because
I think because I hadn't seen Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead, the same thing. I wouldn't like this as much.
See, Shaun of the Dead was a fun take on zombies. Yeah. Probably the best, and it was one of the originals
you should really see Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we get things like Warm Bodies later on, which follow that same type of comedy trope.
I like Warm Bodies.
We know.
And Zombieland, of course. We've got Zombieland 2 in the pipe.
Okay. Are we moving along?
Sure.
What's up next, Dan? Dan?
Uh-oh.
I guess next up is Velvet Buzzsaw.
Did we get Dan and Bob back? My connection is really bad. I can't hear you guys.
Come back.
We're here.
We're doing Velvet Buzzsaw, Dan. Continue. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, sorry. I think I'm caught up now.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, Tony Collette.
Tony Collette. Saw Ashton, Tom Sturridge, Natalia Dyer, David Deegs, and John Malkovich. Sorry, I am back. It was just really bad for a minute there.
That's all good. I'll start with Velvet Buzzsaw. I thought it was strange. I could never really got into it. I don't think the film even knew what it wanted to be. I mean, I think it was trying to be a wannabe horror.
Yeah,
It wasn't horror enough. The kills I thought were really dumb. I thought the villain was pointless. And it just, the characters didn't even seem that interesting. I mean, I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was fine as usual. I thought Rene Russo was fine. Just nobody stood out. Nothing stood out in the film for me. Guys, what do you think?
This is the same director, of course, as Nightcrawler, right?
Yes, which I loved. Nightcrawler was a great film.
Nightcrawler is one of my favorite movies, so considering it's the same guy, this was a bit disappointing. But, I mean, I think the point of it was, like, their greed, and that was the point, but it basically feels like if you went to a party of all white people, all white critics, these are these characters. And, like, Morph?
Morph, that's
whatever.
His name.
Yeah, the weird names and just, like, this... I didn't really love the art culture, because everyone just seems like an asshole. And, like, Ted Damrish and, like, Coco were the only real characters, because, like, they weren't greedy. They kind of just wanted to do their art for... Well, Damrish wanted to do his art for the sake of doing it and not for the money. And then Coco, she just finds all the dead bodies.
Coco likes those dead bodies.
Justice for Coco. She's like a freelancer and had to go back to Michigan.
Well, I did enjoy... I don't know who plays the black woman. I thought she was actually good.
Saw Ashton.
She quite impressed me. And, of course, it has my buddy from Blindspotting as the other artist. I thought it was weird. Like, that John Malkovich character. Why was he in this movie again?
I think just to show that... I don't know. Our artists get artist block, and he wasn't. I don't know. His character is kind of.
I just didn't understand. But I mean, I thought the whole principle of the film was dumb.
Did Bob see this one?
No.
Okay, I did see it.
And what did you think?
So I thought. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it was a very weird... It was a weird marriage of two different styles of film. It's basically... let's have a kind of a weird, quirky look at the inside world of art dealers.
Yeah.
And what it's like to be an art dealer. And the Velvet Buzzsaw was Rene Russo. She was the basically the best of them all. While he's... Gyllenhaal's an art critic. He's not a dealer. So I found him interesting and sympathetic and confused, and I guess we're running long. Hey, right? So
I can't read that.
Yeah, I can read that. He's running long. We gotta hurry up. So I'll try to be quick. I'll try to be succinct. But this was a bizarre one to describe.
Since I haven't seen, I'm done. I'm out.
Good night, Bob.
Okay, see you, Bob. It's kind of like how, like, Nightcrawler, like, explored, like, the world of the dark journalism and that stuff.
Yeah.
And he wanted to explore this, but it just doesn't work as well.
But it was like this world meets a traditional horror movie premise of an artist who puts his soul and his blood, his victims, into his artwork. And then he comes back and haunts them and kills people through the artwork. That's very traditional horror shit.
It is, but the problem is it's lame.
Well, what I thought was interesting was the artists. You talk about the Malkovich character or the other character, the African-American artist who was becoming hot and decided to go back to doing his own thing.
Good.
They were touched by the artwork. They could see the pain, and they knew to avoid it. While the critics wanted to consume it and make money off of it, they saw it as a gold mine. And somewhere in between was the Gyllenhaal character, who was smart enough to recognize that there was something in the art that was hurting people.
Yes.
But he wanted to know about the pain, the source of the pain. So he wanted to write about the artist. He wanted to learn who he was and all that stuff. But in the end, they all suffer in pain and die, although I thought it was interesting that in all cases, art was the murder weapon.
It was.
So, and of course,
hobo bot.
Yeah, so of course you have the funny sequence at the end where Rene Russo has eliminated all art in her place. And she's sitting alone out in her back deck, thinking she's completely safe, and then her back tattoo of a buzzsaw starts spinning and kills her.
Yeah.
That the original art, you know, tattoo art is art itself too, and...
True. Okay, I thought that was a cool kill, but I didn't really get that sense, like, oh, this is the last piece of art that she has, that's cool.
My favorite scene was when they talk about they find the Toni Collette character dead and the kids are playing with the blood.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
I thought that was cool. Like, the sphere, that was, like, 127 hours. Yeet. I don't know. And, like, the paint swirling around, that was cool visually. Mm-hmm. Like, and going up on Josephina.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I hated the whole film. It didn't make any sense to me. I wanted Jake Gyllenhaal to find out more information, I think was my problem. He can still die.
Right.
But I need to know more. Why is this happening? I need an explanation.
I actually felt that he should have been redeemed.
Yes.
I felt that he should have been the survivor, that he understood why, and he had to know, like, he had to carry the message to destroy all of this guy's artwork, which is what he wanted. And he was going to become the hands that would do that. But in the end, no.
And he tried to redeem himself by writing, like, the article that, like, you guys need to stay away from this art author stuff. I mean, the last name, like, D's. Like, maybe think of, like, D's Nuts.
Oh, yes.
Got him!
Yeah.
Well,
and I thought it was interesting that, you know, he was gay, but he wasn't. And I thought that was very strange. I thought that was, like, why wouldn't he just be gay? Like, why did he have to have, I don't know, but I guess he was conflicted. He was, he didn't know what he wanted.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't like naked Joe Gyllenhaal typing reviews on his computer?
Then whatever, he was covered up, so.
Yeah. And I guess, that just came through with his reviews as well, like he doesn't know what he wants, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
so, I don't know if I'd recommend it. This wouldn't be, I don't think this would have cut it as a theatrical release.
Definitely not.
It's, I don't know, it's kind of weird that it's on Netflix, because it's like really not mainstream taste, I suppose. Because it's just weird. I don't even think it's my taste, but it's, like, really cool that, like, Dan Gilroy wanted to try out a horror, and I wish the result would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, that's it. What did you buy, Kevin?
What did I buy? I bought Spectacular Spider-Verse into the... Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. That was a muddle, which was kind of cool. It has a new Spider-Pig, or Spider-Ham short on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
I want that.
It's almost like it's basically how did Spider-Ham end up in the movie?
Oh, I want to see it.
And what happened to him.
Okay.
John DiMaggio's fantastic. I bought Groundhog Day for $5, and I bought King Kong from 1976 for $5. And man, whoever made that movie was a giant perv. It's just kind of funny. I never thought about that. And then I bought Free Solo. And Anna and the Apocalypse.
which we'll talk about in our next episode of Free Solo. We ran out of time today, but it will get mentioned. Dan, did you pick up anything or see any strange film that we're not going to watch?
No, nothing obscure this time.
How many times did you order Mama Rosa, though, since last time we recorded?
Last time we recorded, well, this week, three.
There you go. Well, that's it, guys. I apologize. I'm half asleep today because I've been playing way too much poker.
No, you're good, buddy.
At night. So if they make it,
we review it.
Good night, all.
Hey, what's our punishment movie?
Yes. I'm going to reveal that in the next episode, I think.
Okay.
We need to
don't punish
it.
Us too bad.
Okay. Good night, all.
Night all.
Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.